I'm not from Iowa, yes.
Okay.
But this is work from Israel that I'll be talking about. So we had the very big overview and a smaller overview, and I'm going to get really down to what do we see in the field in terms of evapotranspiration partitioning, what can we learn from that, and I'll be talking about a vineyard. So the vineyard I'll be talking about is in a desert environment. It's a green spot in a very much non-green area. And just in case you thought that was kind of a crazy idea to do that, this is a wine press from 2,000 years ago, so at least we're not the first ones. And to get a sense of how dry it is, the season starts more or less in April. We did measurements until harvest in August, and the last rainfall event occurred on March 16. And the entire winter we had less than 2 inches of water. So it's pretty dry. And so we do need to irrigate. Plants still need water to live. And in this kind of system, the main source of water loss is going to be evapotranspiration. And so our interest here is to have most of that evapotranspiration being used by plants. And so to go to transpiration, and as little as possible to be lost directly from the soil surface through evaporation. These are the typical conditions. So we had, it's a little bit of an extreme environment, but some of the extreme things are making it a little more extremely easy. And that's the global radiation. This is 1 week in July. And as you see, like on the sixth day, there was one cloud. So that made the energy balance and all of those kinds of things a lot easier to deal with. So even though we have some extreme things going on, we also have some things that make it easier. The second panel is temperature. Temperature is between 20 and 40 degrees. Relative humidity between 20% and 80%, also a pretty regular pattern. This is a color-coded wind figure. So northwest direction is light blue. Most of the wind happens late in the afternoon from the northwest direction. So again, a very regular pattern, and it helps us to see some of the other issues because we know that our deviations are not because of the weather. So the first thing we did was an energy balance for the whole field. Net radiation, soil heat flux measurements, and then evapotranspiration from an eddy covariance system. And then to separate the fluxes, evapotranspiration and see what the partitioning is in evaporation and transpiration. We did not measure transpiration, unfortunately, but we had a soil surface energy balance to estimate the energy balance below the canopy. And so, like Dr. Horton just pointed out, there is quite some variability below the canopy, and especially in this drip irrigated system, we have a very defined area where it's wet, and then a very large area where it's completely dry. So we did two energy balance measurements, one for each area. So there was net radiation in both positions, again, soil heat flux. And then we calculated sensible heat flux from surface temperature and some wind function, and the residual the evaporation was taken as the residual. So the net radiation and the soil heat flux was relatively easy to come up with, but then the sensible heat flux, like Bill Kustos touched on just a little bit ago, you have this interesting canopy going on, so you don't know exactly what happens with the wind speed below the canopy. So we were able to kind of calibrate what happens with the wind speed by doing the calculation with the temperature and the wind, and then taking the residual from the net radiation and the soil heat flux in the mid-row. And then for the below vine, we assumed that there was a similar wind pattern, but different surface temperature gradients. And that allowed us to get the sensible heat here, and then the evaporation, the latent heat as the residual of that. And then we were able to pretty much get a full season, or at least from bud break to harvest, of the energy balance. This is for the whole vineyard scale. A little bit of increase in net radiation as the season progresses. In the beginning, it's mostly sensible heat flux, and then evapotranspiration starts to increase with time as the canopy grows. Just to zoom in a little bit, here the gray bars indicate irrigation. So we see a huge effect of irrigation on the partitioning of sensible and latent heat, where day after irrigation zero, so that's the day off irrigation, it's almost all evapotranspiration, almost all net radiation goes to evapotranspiration. And then after just 2 days, it's reduced to one-third of that. Later on in the season, it gets... it changes a little bit. We have again an irrigation event, 2 days where it decreases, and then we have another irrigation event, and evapotranspiration actually does not increase until the day after. So what we realized is that the plant actually takes such a hit from this lack of water that it takes a full day to recover. And so this also affects how the partitioning occurs. So that brings us to the soil. So this is the below vine, and the below vine has both evaporation happening and sensible heat flux. And then this is the mid-row where there's no evaporation. And interestingly, the net radiation is more or less the same for both locations, and it doesn't really change for the entire 3 months. But then obviously there's the partitioning is quite different. We see a lot of negative soil heat flux on days of irrigation. This is again a close up, and almost all energy goes to evaporation on the first day, and then as the water content of the soil declines, the evaporation declines. We can then get to the full partitioning of the system by knowing what percentage each of these represent. I don't really have time to get into how we define that, but this is about 14, and the mid-row is about 86% of the surface. And then we were able to do the actual partitioning of evaporation and transpiration for this whole period. And these peaks over here is when the soil evaporation increases immediately after an irrigation, and the transpiration takes some time to recover. So actually some of the largest fractions of evaporation later in the season is when you have that mismatch in how plants and soil respond. Overall, it was about 10%, which is not a whole lot of evaporation. A lot of the literature, it's like 30%, so I wasn't really expecting that, but that's our result. So then if we look a little bit closer, this is the partitioning over a day for each hour. And then at the vineyard scale, I think this is like one day after irrigation, so it's not extremely wet and not extremely dry. So if we then take the vineyard scale fluxes and the soil surface fluxes, we can derive the canopy fluxes. And then what we notice in the canopy fluxes is that for a large part of the day, the sensible heat fluxes are actually negative. And this indicates that there's energy coming from somewhere else than net radiation that is contributing to the transpiration of the canopy. And so we thought about this a little bit, and then we realized that maybe since the surface gets so hot, this is 60 degrees C, which I don't know, it's maybe 140 or something. And the temperature increases so much that this really might contribute energy to the canopy. So that, just looking into advection a little bit more, then the next question was, okay, can we really say it's coming from there? Is it coming from outside? After all, we're in a desert. What is really going on here? And just as a spoiler, I'm not going to give you the answer because I don't know. But I'll give you my thoughts, and if you have better thoughts, you're welcome to talk to me. So regional advection is not really possible because we're in a dry region. It's not really logical that from another dry region we would get more energy. Local is definitely possible because the field is a lot cooler than the desert. And then within field seems like a reasonable option as well. So quickly, if we look at a day, when would we expect advection? We expect it when there is a large temperature gradient between the vineyard and the environment. So that would be when we actually have a full canopy and when we have no lack in water. And we would expect it when we have maybe higher wind speeds. So I compared dry days and wet days and just looked at some different variables, how those differ for those days. So we have high transpiration and low transpiration. We see that the temperature difference between the desert and the field is much higher on the day with irrigation. The wind doesn't really change much, but if we expect that that's a big factor, we would expect most of the advection to occur late in the afternoon. So then if we look at the sensible heat flux for those dry days and wet days, we see that most of the advection, the negative sensible heat flux, occurs around noon, so not later in the day. And if we take the surface if we take the total negative flux over here, it amounts about 1.3 megajoules per day. So that would be kind of like a total amount of energy that's somehow transported to the canopy for transpiration. And then if we want to think about local advection, one thing to I have been thinking about is if we take the energy balance for the wet day and the dry day, we might not have a full closure, but the difference in closure should be similar to what the advection would be, because it doesn't seem like we have any advection on the dry days when there's no temperature gradients, but it does seem like we might have some advection on the wet days. So if you do this rough calculation, it seems like we might be getting maybe 25% of this amount from outside the desert, and then maybe the rest of it would be coming from inside. So basically we have evapotranspiration strongly affected by irrigation, but also by what the plant is doing. We have a large sensible heat from the soil that might be contributing to transpiration, and we might have advection really playing a big role, even though we don't really see it if we just look at the vineyard scale. So that's it for now. Thanks. The eddy covariance is about 2 meters, 1 or 2 meters below the above the canopy, and the fetch is 200-300 meters.
Okay, thank you.